Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 20th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them, are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone away, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked, and bringeth the wheel over them. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, once again, we have a very diverse chapter. Although there are some themes that, again, leapfrog over one another, we have some diversity here. First of all, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I remember a number of years ago, I sat under a preacher who preached a sermon that he called the Christian Wine List. He himself was a teetotaler. He had not ever taken a drink of alcoholic beverage and didn't think it was proper for a Christian to do so. And so he preached a sermon called A Christian Wine List. And of course, the list was all the things that you have to qualify if you're going to drink alcohol. And it was the permission that died of 1,000 qualifications, if you get what I mean. Now, we're not that way. We don't believe that that wine, beer, even something stronger than that is forbidden to us. But let that not soften our resolve against drunkenness. Let us remember that drunkenness is always forbidden in Scripture. And let me ask you this question. If drunkenness is forbidden, should our attempt then be to get as close to drunkenness as we can without going over that edge? Obviously not. To ask the question is to answer it. It is acceptable in Scripture, and we'll get to some other passages that tell us so, that we may enjoy such niceties that the Lord has provided for us. We may enjoy them if we enjoy them rightly. And enjoying them rightly means that we stay far from intoxication. Children, you know what the word intoxication means? Do you hear what's in the middle of that word? Toxic. You know what it means to be intoxicated? Well, let me just put it to you simply. It means that you're poisoned. Poisoned. Now, that's a very interesting thing, isn't it? So when you see those commercials on television, or you see those ads where people are, living the life of leisure and the alcohol is flowing freely and so on, let's remember that the Scriptures inveigh against the alcohol flowing freely. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Now watch, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Deceived. How could you be deceived? Deceived into thinking you can handle it when you can't. Deceived into thinking when you really haven't gone as far as you've gone. I enjoy a glass of wine. I enjoy a good beer. I never really got into hard liquor myself. I never developed a taste for it. But I do enjoy a good glass of wine, and I do enjoy a tasty beer from time to time. But as soon as you feel the effects of that alcohol, listen, it's probably past time to stop. You may have already gone too far. You may have already been deceived. So be careful. Let not our liberty to partake of certain things translate itself into license. Take care that you do not be deceived into thinking you have liberty to do what you don't have liberty to do. Take care to avoid thinking you can handle more than you can. Take care that you do not become dependent. Take care that your moral resolve is not weakened. This is why drunkenness is forbidden under the seventh commandment in the larger catechism. And take care that your cowardice does not lead you to overindulge. What do you mean cowardice? You're only having one? Yes, I'm only having one. Thank you. Appreciate your concern. All right. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Do you like to have the last word? Just got to get one more snipe in, one more dig. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. But every fool, let me paraphrase, will want to get the last word in. Let it rest. Don't meddle. Cease from strife. Oh, but if I do that, they'll think they got over on me. Let go of your pride. Let them get over on you. Don't be a fool. That's what Solomon is telling us. The fear of a king, I want to skip back to 2 because this is something that is, disrespect for magistrates is a problem in our society today, even in some of our churches. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. That's a great passage. Talks about the authority of a magistrate. Why do you want to smack the bear in the nose? Right? I mean, isn't that kind of what Solomon is saying here? Don't flaunt your evil before the magistrate. Understand that his wrath is something to be avoided. God has given him power, not in vain, as Paul tells us in Romans 13. And that power is the power of the sword, the power of bodily coercion. And we don't have caning in this society, but we do have capital punishment for certain crimes, and perhaps not enough crimes. The difficulty that we have is that disrespect for magistrates, because, you know, they're just people too. Yeah, and God has chosen imperfect magistrates to administer His justice in the world. So your argument is not with the magistrates. The argument is with the Lord who has put these structures in place. And we could talk about any kind of authority, really. So it's very important for us to have respect to the powers that be. Honor to whom honor is due, fear to whom fear, tribute to whom tribute, and so on. That's the word of the apostle. All right, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. And then a little bit later on, love not sleep lest you come to poverty. Love not sleep lest you come to poverty, right? That's a pretty interesting passage. The Bible, again, is very clear over and again of the virtues of rising early. That's the point of loving not sleep. It's, you know, in another portion of the Proverbs, it sets up the sluggard like a door on a hinge, right? It's time to get up. Okay, I'll turn over. It's time to get up. Okay, I'll turn over again. It's time to get up. I'll turn over again. It's time to get up. I'll just turn over. Instead, I'm like a door on a hinge. Instead of getting up, getting out of bed, and getting about your duty. The Bible presents rising early as a good example at all times. At all times. Maybe one time I can think of where it's not so positive, but it's only because you've stayed up late. Right? It is vain for you to stay up late, to rise early, to eat the bread of toil, for lo he gives to his beloved sleep. And so we learn moderation with our sleep, moderation with when we go to bed and when we rise. If you have a choice, the choice is to go to bed at such a time where you can rise early. If you have a choice. Now, there will be other times when you're driven to stay up late by particular circumstances. Maybe there's work to do. Maybe even some recreations. And it's not unlawful to stay up late occasionally for recreations. It's not unlawful. However, if your recreations cut into your work the next day, you can't get out of bed because you were up late playing, partying, recreating, taking advantage of your leisure time. Pastor, you're sure hitting hard on leisure today. Maybe I am. Again, the day after, we still have duties to do. Our duties still are there to be done. So, love not sleep lest you come to poverty is the word of Solomon here. All right, let's try to pick up a couple more before we close out here. Diverse weights and measures are mentioned twice in this passage. So, the principles of equity, the principles of fairness, the principles of buying and selling, and doing both parties good, right? The other portion is the buyer that says, "Oh, it's nothing. It is not. Ugh, that's a worthless piece of garbage. You want me to spend $50 for that? I'll give you $10. And then after he spends $40, after they haggle for a while, he goes away and then he says, "Look what I got. Wow." Right? So he says it's nothing, but it really is something. And so what we're after here is diverse weights and measures. That's an abomination to the Lord. Equity and fairness, being honest, paying a fair wage for labors that are received, paying a fair price for goods or services that are received. We want it to be a win-win. We want to love our neighbors as ourselves, even when we are paying them for something. Now, they ought to love us also so that they're not being, you know, exorbitant in their charges. But still, both are true. Diverse weights and measures go both ways. All right, here's that statement of total depravity from Solomon. Who can say I have made my heart clean. I am pure from my sin. Of course, that's a rhetorical question. The answer is no one can say that. No one. Humility and prayer are undergirded in several places. Look at verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It's a very interesting passage where the assumption here is men are, you know, are acting as if they understand their own way. They're making all their plans. They're pressing into these areas. They're saying, like in James, tomorrow or the day after, we'll go into such and so of a city and we'll buy and sell and we'll make a profit. And then we'll come home and we'll spend it. Of course, James tells them, you don't realize you're like a vapor. You should say, if the Lord wills, we will go here and there. And you know what I found in my own speech? If I'm faithful to acknowledge that in my speaking, if I'm faithful to say, Lord willing, my mind begins to believe it. More and more, I begin to think that way, that I am dependent upon the Lord for every activity that I plan, everything that I intend to go forward with. I can make my intentions, but that if there's any success at all, if there's any profitability, if there's any going forward, that is of the Lord. All right, verse 27, a hearty use of the conscience here. The spirit of a man is the candle, the lamp, if you will, the flashlight, the searchlight of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Have you ever noticed anyone when they get a flashlight out, if it's dark, that they just go, they move all over the place, shine it everywhere? Now, I know I'm a flashlight expert. You know that about me. They shine it all over. There's a corner. Put it in the corner. There, you know, the corner. Oh, yeah. What's up there? Every inch, every square inch is covered. You see, the spirit of a man, that is your inner man, your conscience, is the lamp, the searchlight, the candle of the Lord. The Lord uses your conscience to search out your thinking, to search out those secret inward parts of the belly. And so what do you want to do if you have a flashlight? You want to make sure it's got good batteries in it. You want to take care of it. Right? You don't submerge it in water if it's not a waterproof one. You don't pick it up after 40 years of laying on the closet and expect that it'll work. You take care of it. So take care of your conscience. Don't sear it. Don't injure it. Don't make it so that it doesn't work. Keep it in good working order. Use it. All right, well, let's stop right there. Each proverb is a deep, and there's, I don't know, 40 proverbs in each one, but we'll have to stop there. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 81, verses 1 through 10, page 176.